think we're going to have to figure it out, right? Trump's not going away, probably.
No, he's probably not
for 6 years. And just as
that's the problem,
the Democrats.
See, that's what you think is the problem.
Chuck, hold on.
No, I'm going to jump in now.
All right, go for it.
I like Trump. I like the tax cuts. I like the judicial nominations. I like deregulation. I like his defense of Israel. I like so many things about Donald Trump. But damn it, he is a liability here in Colorado. And if you want to stick your head in the sand, Chuck, and decide that we can somehow get around that in this election, you're wrong.
So what do you recommend for Cory Gardner? To do the Mike Kaufman routine?
Well, let's talk about Cory Gardner. What has Cory done as a U.S. senator?
Nothing.
He voted and publicly defended day in, day out, the two nominations for the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. Yes, he did.
Okay, where was he? I saw where Lindsey Graham was. This is Cory Gardner.
Do you think it's necessary? Do you think Mueller needs protection? Mitch McConnell does not.
That's a whole different issue, Chuck. Shut that off.
I support the Mueller investigation.
Shut it off, because it makes no difference.
Here, Chuck's mic off, and may I continue,
or do you not want to hear what Cory Gardner has been doing for Donald Trump?
Tell us about Cory Gardner.
He voted for and was a day-in, day-out defender of the tax cuts. He has been a defender of deregulation. He has been the defender of Trump's foreign policy. So tell me, where has Cory fallen down as a U.S. senator for
Open
Trump?
Borders.
Tell me. Oh,
open
come
borders.
On.
He's
come
a total
on.
Hoe for the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, give
He's
me a break.
Owned and operated by so, the Chamber and so, Mitch McConnell.
So
He's
one,
a Mitch McConnell
so one
huge.
Issue. One issue?
One issue?
And well, by the way, he's not for open borders.
How about tariffs?
He's not for open
borders. He is open borders. How about tariffs?
He has been critical of the tariffs.
Yes, he's been a chamber guy from day one, and he runs with
well,
Mitch McConnell.
Well, why don't you talk to all these small businesses and farmers and ranchers in Colorado who are being hurt by those
Well,
those tariffs,
okay,
by the
so
way.
Let's screw the middle class. Let's do a globalist agenda and destroy the middle class.
But what would
you think about what they did to Ohio and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin?
Chuck, let's keep talking about Cory Gardner. I want to ask right now. Are you going to oppose him for re-election?
I hope somebody runs it. I'm not going to oppose him. No, I'll have him with the same enthusiasm I did Walker Stapleton, which is I'll hold my nose, I'll puke, because he is a traitor to everything he held in 2010. I remember just like Kaufman. You know what Kaufman did to me? He came up to me and said, you know, Tom Tucker, this is back when he first ran.
I don't want to talk.
Come on.
We're talking about Gardner, for God's sake.
It's the same person.
No. Okay, so if he's opposed in a primary, are you going to vote for his opponent?
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
Do
you think anybody else can win the seat other than Cory Gardner?
I think he can give him a little bit of scare, though. I think he can kind of, wait a minute.
No.
I can't drive anybody.
Is there any other Republican who can win a general election in 2020 other than Cory Gardner for the United States Senate? Very specific question. Answer it.
Is anybody going to have the money he's going to have from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
I ask again. If you give somebody good the money,
and
who's the somebody good? Let me hear this wonderful candidate.
Who is somebody good? I don't know.
That's not interesting.
You
can't name the candidate. Let me tell you, the future of this party, and I got to tell you, I am frankly tired of people crapping on Cory Gardner because.
Of course you are, because he deserves it.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
Not truth hurts.
Is he a perfect senator? No, but you know what? He has been there time after time. And if
was he there? Was he there for the Republican Party in Alabama when he threatened to take their vote?
Oh, for a guy who
it.
Hits on young girls? Oh, you bet.
Oh, hits on. Jeez. Yeah, you don't want that.
Oh,
no, you don't
God.
Want any heterosexuals anymore.
Oh, my
hits
God.
On younger
oh,
women.
My God.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How about Elvis and everybody else?
Well, I'm sure glad we're basing our decision on Cory Gardner on one state with a flawed Republican candidate.
That he destroyed.
Let me know.
Thank God.
I get to talk.
Well, thank God that's the Republican Party. The establishment wants to destroy everybody that doesn't go with their deal.
I want to know. You don't like Cory. Tell me the person who would be a better candidate to win a U.S. Senate race in 2020. Who is it?
I don't know. Pick out some Neville.
Well, wait a minute. You've been
trashing Cory Gardner for years.
Patrick Neville?
Yeah.
Are you starting the Patrick Neville draft program
now?
Yeah,
he'd be great. You hate him, too?
I like Patrick Neville.
No, you don't.
I do, too. I've known the family for years. They're neighbors of mine. I have.
Tim needs a job.
Tim's got lots of time on his hands. He's a great conservative.
Let me do this, and this has been very gray, but here's my question, okay? Because going,
all the phones going,
I know. Because going forward, and here's my question, Dick, which goes back to whoever, Cory Gardner, whoever runs. And I agree with you, Cory Gardner is the guy in there now. To me, it seems like a sales job. And tell me if I'm wrong here. But you have to find out these people who are we know the yeses. Those are the Republicans. And they're going to vote for the Republicans, right? Then you have the maybes. And the way you do it in sales is you figure out, well, what motivates you and what are your objections? And doesn't the Republican Party, since Trump is not going anywhere for a while, have to figure out how to reach out to those people and say, okay, I know you don't like the president's tweets. I know you don't like Stormy Daniels, but what about this, this, and this? I mean, is that impossible or is that just not?
No, but campaigns do that all the time. In fact, you have to tailor. How many times have you talked to me on the phone and I've talked about how you have to run a primary in a way that can not only win a primary,
right,
but can appeal to those unaffiliateds? Right. And she, we've done that before, Julie, we have. I mean, there are guys by the name of Bill Armstrong, Hank Brown, Wayne Allard, Cory Gardner, and Bill Owens that figure out, well, Cory didn't have a primary, but those others did.
No, I worked for every one of them.
I know how it's not. And you have to be in a mindset from the beginning of the campaign about how do I win a primary while setting myself up for a stronger position to win a general election.
What I keep hearing
from so many on the right in this election, by damn, we're going to run as far to the right as we can, and then make us unelectable for the general election. Daryl Glenn. I mean, think about all these people.
He didn't run an election.
Wait, this is my
election.
Turn to talk.
He didn't, and he almost won. He came within 3 or 4%.
Yeah, let me tell you.
He didn't run.
3 or 4% is like a.
What about those?
He didn't even run. He didn't raise any money.
Yeah. What about though doing it more the way the Democrats do, and that is getting much more specific. In other words, finding marijuana voters, for instance, or finding charter school parents, people like that, finding gun owners, and you say, okay, do you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about
gun owners have been targeted by campaigns for years.
Okay, what about charter school parents?
The charter school parents were targeted by the Owens campaign as far back
as 98. Okay, but I mean now, though, with the mail-in ballot situation, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there? Because I don't want to concede, right? I don't want to say we can't win. I mean, can't you do that? And you wait, let me finish. The Democrats being, I guess somebody said, the island of misfit toys, right? But they found a way to work together. What if you were to take, I mean, I'm just asking, I guess, is this doable? You take a bunch of these issues that are somewhat separate, but that a lot of different voters are going to agree on and maybe care more about school choice than they do about Donald Trump's tweets.
That's what's done all the time when we have a winner. What you're laying out is what I've done a million times for these candidates.
But let's put you back in charge.
I'm not calling for that. but what you're saying is exactly how Republicans win in the state. And you can if you can go back to the
well. Then what went wrong this time?
Well, first of all, it was extraordinary, this anti-Trump sentiment. Yeah. I know you want to play it down, Chuck,
but
it was real.
Yeah.
And unaffiliated voters cut against this, and there was nothing we could do about it.
Well, how about identifying the faults of Mr. Polis? Could you handle that one?
There were many, but they didn't. but they didn't care. They wanted to punish Republicans.
Yeah, right.
I think this is still a fiscally conservative state, as you can see, because the voters went over here and they voted straight down the Democratic ticket from top to bottom. Then they went over here and they killed education and transportation tax increases.
Right. Exactly.
And they killed oil. Let me tell you, this anti-Trump factor was a reality, and I say that not as a. I think Trump has done more as president than anyone we've had before, but I also know. When he calls somebody horseface, why did he have to kick Mike Kaufman when he's down? I mean, why does he have to do that? Why does he have to personally insult and
because Kaufman insulted him?
But
he denigrated
him.
Here's
the point,
he's the president of the United States. Chuck, why can't he behave himself?
Because he's not going to.
Well, you know
what?
That's
like saying Andrew Jackson.
And you know what? And if he doesn't, we're going to continue to get our ass kicked in places like Colorado.
We're going to get our ass kicked in every place that betrays, it stands for nothing.
Yeah.
Stands for nothing.
Yeah.
Stands for open borders.
I'm going to have
to. Stands for,
gentlemen,
for the working class being destroyed.
Chuck
hates the average person.
Keep your head on the sand on Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
Hey, gentlemen.
You keep on hating Donald Trump for a factor in
Colorado. No, I don't. But I demand, I think I think Coloradans deserve more from this president in how he behaves.
He's not going to change.
Well, you know what?
He's not going to change.
Then gear up for some bad years.
Well, we're going to gear up. We've already had the bad years.
No shouting.
Well, more.
How do we?
Well, it's coming.
But it seems to me.
And for those of you who want Cory Gardner to lose, I hope you're happy with yourselves if he does.
You got your Mike Kaufman
They figured it out.
You loved him, didn't
you? Could anybody else had held on to that seat for 6 years, Chuck?
Well, he held it for 6 years to what? To what effect? To trash the president? To trash
the
Republicans? He voted for the tax cuts. The chamber board. He got to do the chamber mantra.
Okay.
How popular were the tax cuts? Not very popular.
Oh, we shouldn't have done them then, huh?
Everybody's
no, we should have
go.
Done them, but that doesn't mean it's a good,
Chuck,
it's a good
Chuck,
campaign.
Chuck, retire to your corner. We got to take a break.
Well, this is fun.
We got to take a break. And then I get to talk and we come back.
Oh, no.
And phone calls are ringing 303-696-1971. Chuck, Julie, thank you very much. Dick Wadhams in studio.
This is
former
fun.
Adams,
I love
this. Adams, former Republican Party chairman. Here, we'll be right back.
Chuck Bonomo and Julie Hayden on News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right, Chuck Bonneau and Julie Hayden here with our good friend Dick Wadhams, having fun discussing the issues.
Just so you know, just so folks know, during the break, everybody was talking civilly and saying, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? So,
but both guys get the break. Give us the campaign, the winning campaign for Cory Gardner in 2020 here in Colorado. What are the issues he highlights to bring all those disinfected people who hate his tweeting?
I think Cory will campaign on his record, which will be supporting the Trump tax cuts, supporting judicial nominations, which included one Coloradan, supporting the deregulation agenda that has spurred our economy. I think Cory has a strong record to run on.
How, though?
Wait, let me finish. That's his campaign.
I haven't talked to Cory what he's going to campaign.
I know, but you're hired right now by the official Chuck and Julie program to devise a strategy that you put together for Bill Owens. And I thought you went for Bill Owens. Was beautiful.
Right.
It was beautiful. Right. Give us that for Cory Gardner.
And how do you get around?
I think I just laid it out.
That's not going to convince him.
Then how do you, though, that's part A, which is great. Then part B, right, how do you avoid, which I think, and I do, and Chuck knows this too, that there are people out there who didn't like Donald Trump and where they might have split their ticket before did not this time around. How do you address that?
I think Cory is in a strong position for anti-Trump voters to say, I think that I like Cory Gardner, and I think he's been an effective senator, and I'm going to vote for him.
Okay.
And I think Cory, listen, I know that Cory has opposed the president at times. I think Cory has drawn enough of a separation from Trump on some issues to show that he's not totally subservient to the president. And also, Trump must like Cory Gardner because Cory was on Air Force One on the trip to South Dakota for the candidate for governor up there 2 weeks ago. So
he likes Mitch McConnell too.
Well, he should. McConnell has done a great job in this session.
He's been pathetic.
Really?
Just pathetic.
Really? Kavanaugh?
Yes, pathetic.
Gorsuch?
Just pathetic.
The tax cut?
The
deregulation?
He got a couple judges through.
Oh, my God.
Whoopee. What happened to the wall?
A couple of judges?
What happened to the wall?
That is a good point.
I have to say, Dick is correct.
You're right. President Trump got two judges appointed in Sawatch County. Thank God for him.
What happened to the Supreme Court judges, Chuck? What happened to tariffs? What happened to
tariffs?
Tariffs
are a mixed bag.
What are?
The tariffs.
What don't you like about tariffs? What about protecting America?
Other than they're hurting Colorado farmers and ranchers and small
businesses. So we should let China run over us?
I'm not saying that, but
Well, what are you going to do to stop them?
Chuck, there is a downside to tariffs, and if you
what are you going to do to stop China?
Nice of you to sit in this studio every day. You don't have to raise a family on the plains or.
I'm raising a family up in Westminster.
Show me where tariffs are affecting you. I don't see it.
They're affecting me because there are lots of people doing great.
If you're going to spend all day every day just crapping on Cory Gardner and just deciding that he's a horrible senator, then I think you ought to challenge Cory Gardner in a Republican primary, Chuck. And in fact, I think all the people
you
who...
still haven't answered the question.
About what?
China. How are you going to
Oh, wait, Chuck,
China?
Let's go back over here.
Wait a minute. Could you not quit interfering?
No, because that's not the point.
Oh, my God, Chuck. I am not the trade representative for America.
Right. Well, you ought to be.
Tell us the answer.
I'll tell you one thing. Yeah. I'm far more concerned about Colorado farmers and ranchers and small businesses than I am you and the Chinese. I didn't know you were such buddies with the Chinese.
No, you're the buddy for the Chinese because you won't do anything about it.
Oh, my God.
You say, oh, yeah, the farmers and ranchers. No tariffs. Did you like the revision? You were against the revision of NAFTA, right? You thought NAFTA.
I didn't care one way or the other. If you want to continue to seek out places where you disagree with Cory Gardner,
Here's one of them.
Do you think it's necessary? Do you think Mueller needs protection? Mitch McConnell
Tell me why you supported the Mueller investigation. Because I can see at the beginning you could be, but after it's exposed as a total fraud. as a total fraud. And why is he saying no?
Do you really think we could politically survive cutting off the Mueller investigation?
Don't cut it off. No. Don't support him. Just say, I do not support the Mueller investigation. It's a fraud. It is a fraud. It's a hoax.
We disagree on that, too.
Let me ask you this.
You think the Mueller investigation is not a hoax?
No, I think it's horrible, but I don't think we can cut it off.
I didn't say we can cut it off. He didn't have to be supportive of
it. I don't like it, and I think that they're...
Is it a hoax?
I think it's a total dry hole after 2 years of looking for the mythical Russian collusion.
Yes.
I agree with all that.
Okay.
But why go through the political pain of destroying it right now?
But here's my...
Well, why does he have to say he supports the Mueller investigation?
Because let it play itself out. It's not going to...
That's not what he said. He says he supports the Mueller investigation.
Well, I do, too, because I don't think that we should cut it off because of the political consequences.
See,
and once again, Chuck, if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you.
I get what you guys think. You're tricky. I think, this will really tell the unaffiliated voters. If I say I'm for the Mueller investigation, rather than saying it's a hoax and it ought to end and be supportive of the president.
Let me ask you this, Dick, because on this front point, I do kind of agree with Chuck. There's a fine line between, and sometimes I don't understand why Cory Gardner does that, because rather than saying, I support the Mueller probe, couldn't he, and why doesn't he say something more along the lines of, you know, it's been 2 years, they haven't found anything.
I've heard him say that.
Okay, but then let me move on to back to my question, though, because I think which is more important, because
how is he going to distinguish himself, put enough space between him and the president for the next 2 years so all the unaffiliated voters in Jefferson County want to support him?
That's more the thing. How does he? Because it's not just him, I agree with you. Trump, whether I like Trump, you like Trump, Chuck likes Trump, there are people out there who don't like Trump, and they don't like him on the basis, and I think a lot of voters go with this, of style, not substance, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But how do you then, because he's unlikely to change, right? He's unlikely to quit tweeting things that you like. Why did he just tweet that? But again, if you're Cory Gardner, you've got your record. I mean, how do you, if you're a campaign manager, right, how do you do that? For instance, do you bring Trump in to help him campaign with you?
I think Colorado voters, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that. I mean, right at this moment, that's what I would say.
Yeah. David Flaherty thought they should be brought in. He should be.
Although he was also the kind of, just in fairness, he was saying, we might as well because we've got nothing to lose.
That's exactly, he said it because we had nothing to lose at that point.
Uh-huh.
I heard him. But
you listened.
Listen, I'm not in charge of Corey's strategy. I just know from what I'm thinking
I understand what
I think is, I think Corey can put enough distance on the tariffs. Now, I know Chuck loves tariffs. I love
fair trade.
I think Corey will show that he has defended Colorado's interests and disagreed with the president. Now, that's not what he does. Corey doesn't have to call Trump every name in the book while saying they have a disagreement. Well, that was during the election, Chuck. I mean,
has
Donald Trump ever called anybody a name?
No. But you don't like people calling people names.
That is what they.
So why'd you like Corey calling the president a buffoon?
I frankly didn't like that.
No.
I don't think he should have done that, to be honest.
Bad. All right, let's go. To
I bet you he regrets it, too.
Well, who knows what Corey regrets. Let's go to Leslie in Centennial. Has been waiting a long time. She had a question for George, but we wanted to get you on, Leslie. Thanks for waiting for us.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You bet.
It's been a wild hour, y'all.
Oh, having
I'm
fun.
Crazy.
Having fun.
Anyway, I have wanted to bring up a hurdle that I think we face that I can't figure out a solution to. I'm a sidewalk counselor at Planned Parenthood, and for the last year, we watched people going in daily, dozens of people going in with great big bags, coming out, and I know they were community organizing, taking out, you know, campaign literature and petitions and all that. So the taxpayers pay Planned Parenthood, right, taxpayer-funded to the tune of like $500 million a year. And then that money is used to do community organizing against our interests. How do we solve that?
It's not just there. You've got green foundations. I mean, look at all the non-government
AG's
organizations.
Office, before the Republicans got over, they'd settle cases, and then you had to pay a portion of the settlement to Democratic groups.
It's a Democratic gravy train, Leslie.
Consumer Financial Protection Board, which was taking out millions. The Democrats, and I promise you, Jared Polis and all the Brownstein Law Firm is just, you know, going up the back door of this Brinks truck. Planned Parenthood is the most obvious one, but there's just
but
hundreds
of them.
But
we've got Georgia. How do you, or
so
your, George
do
Dick
stop
Adams,
the,
how do you,
funding
how
all
do
the
you,
Democratic
do you
ones?
Fight that or you just...
Well, I know one thing. Do you remember the first executive order that Bill Owens issued after he got elected governor? He cut off funding to Planned Parenthood.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Jane Norton was the head of the Department of the Health Department, the Carter Department of Health, and she executed the executive order, and it was done. And 8 years later, when Owens left office, Bill Ritter, the first thing he did was, because executive orders can be rejected by the next guy.
Bring it
sure.
back.
And that's what Ritter
because
did.
Because Bill Ritter was pro-life, remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we saw that. So that's one of the consequences of losing the race for governor.
Yeah, Leslie, you
so
see,
the answer
I mean,
is we
we're
can't
screwed,
do
Leslie.
About it. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, well, I think it's. I don't doubt what Leslie is saying at all. I think
right.
I think that's exactly what's going on. Yeah.
So I wish we had a better answer for you. Maybe Trump, maybe those brave Republicans like Cory Gardner
Chuck.
Out in Washington will say, I am not going to approve a budget that funds Planned Parenthood, but I don't see him doing that.
Leslie, though, good observation.
Good observation. Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, let's go to Brad in Lakewood. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Chuck. Thank you. I think you're doing an excellent job of pointing out why I disagree with Mr. Wadhams. Trump may be unpopular in Colorado, but he also won Senate races in North Dakota, Indiana, hopefully Florida, and Missouri. So to blame Trump on this is inexcusable. Number two, as far as Roy Moore, when we lost Roy Moore, we lost a for-sure vote on the Supreme Court and a vote to repeal Obamacare.
Yep.
And Cory Gardner should have stayed out of that.
He should have.
So
I have
to say I disagree with Mr. Wadhams, and I agree with you.
Okay, right, Brad, you're a great American, a true patriot. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
people
that.
Always agree with Chuck over than me, too, Dick, so I understand what you're thinking.
Let's
right now.
Let's go to Jim in Littleton. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Great interchange there. So I got one thing to – my point is that Mike Kaufman actually beat a pretty significant guy in that last time around, which was that Andrew Romanoff.
Two times before. He beat
all right.
I forget the woman, Mary
right.
Carroll, I think, the last time.
But he used the same strategy with him that he used this time around. It just didn't work. But do you not agree that he didn't change?
No, I agree.
No,
he didn't change.
And we have said on the show, too, I'm not a Mike Kaufman fan necessarily, but I think Mike Kaufman, and Dick, what do you think, was probably doomed anyway. I mean, this cycle, he did a great job in a Democratic area. I mean.
Right. So here's my thing is that I don't know if you listened, but Rush Limbaugh was talking about what has changed in California from the last, you know, when Ronald Reagan was there. The demographics have changed.
Right.
The demographics are changing here in Colorado. The demographics are changing in Arizona. There's nothing you can do in that situation, whether you're a Trump light or a Trump extreme. It's still going to happen. And those people, those illegals, those people will vote in a Democrat. You can't change it. So what? We are lost. What can we do to change this?
All right.
Jim, perfect question.
Great question, Jim. I'll let you.
That's exactly in a much calmer way what we've been talking about.
Well, if we're talking about Colorado, and I assume you're talking about the state of Colorado, we need to nominate candidates who run on a very specific agenda. That is a mainstream Republican agenda and conservative. I'm not talking about running as a liberal, but that can win a Republican primary and then win a general election. And I still think Colorado is fundamentally conservative in terms of the fiscal issues. We saw that with the defeat of all these ballots. So if we can get past this personality problem we've got with Donald Trump, and there is one. I mean, you cannot look at the results and not acknowledge that.
That's not the problem. Get
things back on the issue. Let me put it this way. Do you think we would have lost this election if President Hillary Clinton was there?
No.
No. We probably would have won this governor.
If we ran the same campaign, yes. The same bland, no issue, not don't point at your opponent.
I probably agree with you there, Chuck, that if we had had – I don't think any campaign was going to defeat Jared Polis between his money and the anti-Trump sentiment in this election. I really
but it could have gotten
looking
a lot
back,
closer.
I didn't think that as recently as 3 weeks ago.
It could have been a lot closer, and a lot closer means that the George Brockers win.
Well,
that means
maybe we might. You might be right about that. If we had had a stronger campaign at the top, then maybe it would have been able lifted all boats underneath them.
I
would probably agree with you.
Right.
I think the one thing too, and we got to go to a break, that seems to me clear is that again they have to find a way to run with Trump. You can't ignore him.
I agree.
And you can't run against him. And it's got to find a way to do that. Okay.
I agree, Julie.
Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonnewell, and Dick Wadhams in studio. We'll be right back after this.
Now back to Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden on News Talk 710 KNUS.
It's 2:48 here in the afternoon. Sunny skies. sunny happiness here in the studio. Chuck Bonomo, Julie Hayden with Dick Wadhams, and we're having a great time here discussing all the issues. Let's go right to the phones. We've got so many people calling in, and let's go to Father Hugh. Father Hugh, how are you doing?
Good afternoon. What a lovely afternoon.
Yes, yes.
Of course, I'm with you.
Well, thank you. Okay.
And actually, to give Dick a clue, I'm an unaffiliated. And I'll sum it up in one sentence. For 6.5 years, the Republicans in Washington promised that they would repeal Obamacare. And they had show vote after show vote. And when the time came, they didn't. And it's typical of the way they operate. And it's, among other things, for example, if they were serious, I don't know whether it was Little Corey or not, who pulled the money from Mike Kaufman, but it was over $1 million. If you were serious about doing that, you would have kept it in.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember Corey put a blockade on additional nominations, didn't he, until he got his marijuana one? He wouldn't approve any of them?
Corey had nothing to do with the decision by the PAC, by the Independent Expenditure Committee.
Well, I don't care.
He didn't have anything to do. So don't blame
Corey.
For, I suppose Corey was responsible for the wrecks this morning on I-25.
Okay.
Really?
I imagine he was.
Oh, heck. My God.
And by the way,
he opposed the sun coming out this afternoon, too.
The last thing you would have said would have been that Trump didn't come here because we're a mile high, and he should be faulted for that. I found your argument.
You're now incoherent.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, let me make
because we got a lot of calls of just.
Oh, now it is.
Come on.
Come on. Yeah, we're having fun here. You always stop our fun.
Let me make a couple of affirmative proposals.
Okay.
I was in deal practice. I was known as Mr. Fix-It because when deals got into trouble, people would come to me and I would have a solution. Here's the solution. A solution. Money. Money is everything. I'll back up. I thought the interview with Ted Trimper the other day was spine-chilling. Because he revealed how methodical and sophisticated and data sensitive these guys are, and it's a daily proposition. My proposal is we need to have a fund, and I called in when Tom Tancredo withdrew. I basically called in the day after, and I said we need to have a never again fund. And what that is ordinary people like me and others will contribute over a period of time. Maybe we'll have benefits. Maybe we'll have Trump here for one of his 20,000 person rallies and charge $5 a head. We will have money on our own to free us from the likes of Anschutz.
Okay.
No,
thank you.
We need
appreciate
to find something.
Call.
Thank you, Hugh.
Let me ask you this. I mean, when you ran the Republican Party back in 2010, there were a lot of small contributors to the road. What happened to that?
Well, I think they're still there, Chuck.
They're not. We look at the reports, and they're none there.
Okay.
There's none there. You see Phil Anschutz, you see Larry Mizell, and you see the Coors brothers, and then nothing.
I mean, there were quarter, well, times, I don't want to say quarters, where there was like zero or 150.
Other than Anschutz. I mean,
I can't answer that question. But what I do know is that small donors are terribly important. We spend a lot of time. In fact, every campaign I've run, we spent a lot of time building those small donor bases of support. And it takes time. And frankly, it takes money, too, because you do a lot of direct mail because small donors are many of them are older. They do not respond to social media.
Right.
And you do have to do it through direct mail, which does cost money. But social media is becoming a better vehicle all the time, even for Republicans to raise money. So I can't answer what happened in the state party.
Okay, here's a quote from Corey.
Yeah.
I will put today a hold on every single nomination from the Department of Justice. That's the one that is doing the Obama bidding. He will not allow one Trump nominee unless and until the Justice Department session lives up to its commitment to leave marijuana alone.
Well, he was defending Colorado in the decision here.
Oh, he's a dope dealer. What, how about fentanyl? Maybe he can be a fentanyl supporter.
Okay.
I didn't like it either. I didn't like the legalization
He's just a drug merchant.
I think we can agree that you guys disagree on Corey Gardner.
No.
We need to flesh it out.
Let's go to Sherry in Lakewood. Sherry, thanks for joining Chuck, Julie, and Dick Wadhams.
Hi, I'd like to make a comment. I heard Mr. Wadhams talk about President Trump as being kind of a boorish man, and that's all of our problems because, heaven forbid, he said that Stormy Daniels had a horse face or was a horse face. It made a comment like that. But when she was interviewed on, I believe it was 60 Minutes, the comments that you heard from everyone is, wow, her eyes were jumping out of her head. What's up with her? The other name for heroin is horse. So maybe if you expanded your thinking, there could be more to it than just an insult. She was also tattooed with the Nexium group up in Albany. So there might be a little bit more, but you just want to think so small that, oh, this guy is really stupid. Look what he called the lady. And I don't think that's really very fair, very intelligent thinking.
Thanks, Sherry. We got a no comment on that one.
I think Dick's bigger point was I appreciate your comment, but I think his bigger point was that as a candidate, there are some people, a lot of people in Colorado especially, who do not like that about Trump. I disagree with those people personally, but there are those, and as a candidate, you got
to
deal with that.
I think everybody's gotten over it mostly, to tell you the truth. I mean, people who don't like the...
That would be even worse news, though, if all those unaffiliated voters really are.
Well, that's because they didn't get out the good
ones. Okay, let's go.